Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 636. Today we hear from Melissa, who asks,
do you have any input on Ingram Spark versus Amazon for paper? Not talking about Wide versus Amazon. Just, have you seen that the paper versions you can get from these two have any pros or cons? My big issue is I hate the larger print sizes, i.e. trade paperback. I want mass market paperback sizes. But Amazon only allows 5x8 as the smallest, and Ingram will do 4x7. Some of my novels, novellas, are shorter, running about 30 to 40,000, but my main novels are 100,000 plus. Any thoughts as to whether it's worth it to do multiple print sizes?
Melissa, to start off with, there's the technical limitations. The presses they're using right now don't allow them to print mass market paperback. It's not an arbitrary thing. However, I have heard rumblings from behind the scenes that mass market paperback may be coming this year or next year at the latest. There's been a breakthrough as the presses get cycled out. They're going to start offering mass market paperback through both Ingram Spark and KDP Print. I miss CreateSpace. At least that's the rumor that I've heard. So the solution to your woes may be coming over the horizon in a little while. As far as which to use, both. The reason for both is that while KDP Print offers distribution out into the wider ecosystem, the distribution is not as well situated in the distributor's catalogs, and bookstores do not like to buy from Amazon because they're the competition. However, bookstores will buy from Ingram's, who owns Spark, and who is not competing directly with bookstores. So having your book in the Ingram Spark catalog as well as in the Amazon catalog is a very, very good idea, because if you just go through Ingram Spark, you don't get very good placement on the Amazon listing pages. So there's a business reason to go through both, and just keep your eyes peeled for deals to get into Ingram Spark without paying setup fees. Or join Ali, I guess it is, A-L-L-I, the author's letter, whatever it is. It's a professional association. It's like $100 a year, and Ingram Spark gives members free setup. We are just rolling into that. We used Ingram Spark for the Crudrat hardback and really liked them, but we haven't had a chance to get back in. But now that CreateSpace has been shut down, that's lit a bit of a fire under our ass. Now, Kitty, you deal with both, and you have dealt with both. What should she know?
Honestly, what I would do is, your files are in the same format for either. They want PDFs. I find it easier to do my test running on CreateSpace. I haven't worked with KDP Print, but CreateSpace was a lot easier than Ingram for testing your proofs and making sure that they print properly and doing all of those things, particularly once CreateSpace had their online live demo of the proof, because it costs more money to get proofs from Ingram.
So you'd shake things out on KDP Print and then take the final over to Ingram then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And from what I remember, Ingram allowed you one free proof after your setup fee, and then afterwards it was like a ridiculous amount. Again, this is about 4 years ago that we last did a project with Ingram, so we might have some updates in a few weeks.
Let's see, other things that are relevant. Ingram does let you do hardbacks, which Amazon doesn't. I don't think KDP Print does either. I've heard people expressing frustration that they still can't get hardbacks there. We'll find out again for sure next week, because that part of the business is finally getting spun back up, which is lovely. Now, I guess one thing we didn't directly address is multiple print sizes and selecting the proper size for the book. And you've ripped that part of the business out of my hands because you think I'm stupid on that point. So,
well, one of the major considerations on paperback size is cost. And the cost is because you paid a per page cost. Yeah. And the per page cost didn't change because you had a smaller book size.
And so the technical reason for that is that the printers take the same size roll of paper and they print whatever book it is, one book, on the paper. And they don't use substantially less paper if you're using a smaller page size. So you are paying the per page cost for the paper stock plus a slight markup.
What that amounts to is that the higher your word count, the bigger your book should be, because 100,000 word paperback in a 6x9 will take up substantially fewer pages than a 5x8 or a 4x7, and it will cost you less, and you will be able to charge your customers less or take a bigger profit. But you have to balance what feels right to you with what a customer is willing to pay. And when they're looking at a paperback book and it's like $27 because you really wanted a mass market paperback or the closest thing to it, they're not going to pay that, but they might pay $16.99 to get it in 6x9.
Another relevant point would be font size.
Yes.
Because people will put up with the kind of font size that give you migraines in mass market paperbacks, but they won't in trade paper.
Yeah.
Trade paper, you get above about a 5x8, and basically people want 10 point or better. But you get below 5x8, you get into the mass market size, and people will put up with 6 or 8 point font. And so you can cram a lot more in, especially, I mean, a lot more per page. And if you're using a lightweight paper, you can cram a lot more pages into the same size. Paper weight is also important consideration here.
And the paperweight is one of the reasons why a 300-page book made by CreateSpace and Ingram Spark are so much thicker and bigger and more uncomfortable and unwieldy for the reader than the mass-market paperbacks were.
Now, do they offer different weights? Can you actually choose a smaller weight at these Spark and CreateSpace?
There were basically two options, and that was white paper and cream paper, and the white paper and the cream paper have different weights.
The cream was the heavier one. Okay, so that does reduce your flexibility, because with the heavier weight papers that feel more substantial, that are prettier, you run into thickness problems much, much faster. When you've got, for example, some of the books that I've been writing, books that run 200,000 words or 150,000 words, even like Down From 10 did, when you've got books that run that long, you start to run into length problems, because anything over about 600-700 pages starts to fall apart. The binding breaks. It's very hard to maintain a good quality book beyond about 700 pages. A good quality physical book. Well, it's actually beyond a certain thickness of the spine, and the heavier weight means you run into that at about 700 pages. So for Down From 10, in order to avoid having it be 750 pages in a 5x8 trade paper, what we did was we shrank the text down to little smaller than is comfortable on a page that big. And people have complained. And so when we do the Down From 10 hardback, we're also going to release a larger trade paper size so that it is a much more comfortable read. Because the hardback can hold a little bit of a thicker binding. Not much, because it's the same technology, but they use a thicker layer of glue. So that's another consideration. The thicker your books get, the more you're going to have to play games with font sizes, and the more that getting a physically bigger page will do for you, because you can fit more words in it.
And I think part of that is that the reader wants approximately the same amount of reading time per page as they get in the mass market size. So when you expand the page size, they want to spend about the same amount of time reading. So you don't want to stay with a 10-point font when you get to 6x9 or larger. And you also don't want to get to a 17-point font size unless you're deliberately doing large print.
In terms of the physical limitations, there's basically, this is a gross oversimplification, but there's basically two different binding technologies that are commonly used in books. One of them is perfect binding, which is what you get in mass market paperbacks and anything produced on a POD press. What that is it's a stack of pages that's cut square and then has a thick layer of glue laminated down one side to keep it all together. The other is folio binding, and that's what you see in the big paperbacks that have the ragged edges. They actually print up everything on big folio sheets, so you got like 8 pages for a big sheet of paper, and they actually can be 20 or 30 pages by the time they get done with it. And they fold it all up origami fashion so that you can leaf through it, and then they slit the edges, and they make a bunch of folios and then they stitch them together with yarn or string and then put glue down the back. Those can support thousands of pages, but perfect binding falls apart after a certain thickness because that glue breaks and starts to disintegrate much, much faster the thicker it gets. And it can grip the pages less well because the angle that you have to open it at gets more severe, so it's more likely that pages in the middle will pop out. I think we've covered everything about paperbacks.
Yep, I think so.
Everything you need to know about paperbacks from Dan and Kitty. Thank you for sending it in, Melissa. I hope you found this useful. And yes, I would like to see mass market paperbacks too, so let's hope that the rumors I've heard are accurate and that they also introduce them with thinner weight paper. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.